Let's see. Page 1285. Children's church. All right, kids, go to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Behave. Have a good time. All righty. Page 1285 in my Bible. The book of James. James. Amen. Do we have any veterans in here? Any active service members in here? Do we have any? I'm going to ask you to stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you. All service members, we want to thank you for your commitment and your service. We really appreciate it. Why didn't you stand up, young lady? You know you're active. Amen. All right, you're looking in the Bible. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. She's going to be deployed here in a couple of weeks, and we want to bring her up on her last Sunday, and we're going to pray over her. We are so thankful that she's been so faithful to our church, you know, and I'm just thankful for her and all the soldiers. Amen. The book of James, James 1, 17. When you get to say amen. Amen. You there? Now, I want to say this here to you also. Psalms 118:8. I say this almost every Sunday. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Amen. And that's any man, including me. You always get into the word of God to make sure what I'm reading, what I'm saying, what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching, it lines up with the word of God. Amen. Always make sure that whoever is preaching and teaching, it lines up with the word of God. So here we go. James 1:17. Some good gifts. Amen. All right. Y'all on the money. Y'all on the money. Let's see how long y'all on the money. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, that cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither a shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift that you have within you, it comes from God. Amen. All right, now let's go to James 2:14. Are you there? For what doeth profiteth my brother or sister, that a man says he has faith and he has not works? Can faith save him? Question mark. Can faith save him? How are you saved? Do you pay money for it? Do you go knock on doors? Pass out tracts? Come to church every Sunday? How are we saved? By faith. Amen. That's the only way that we're saved, is by faith, not by any works. Now, what's his name? Oh, my God, I can't think of his name. But anyway, he said that this epistle of James is like a straw, you know, because he says faith alone saves us. And he's truth. Faith alone saves us. And it's not talking about, you know, that works will save us. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Let me give you an example of that. Let's say that Terrence will come knock on my door, and he says, Pastor, you know, he says, I'm hungry. I don't have anything to eat. I don't have any resources to get nothing to eat. And I said, Terrence, I said, you know the word. God will provide your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Come on in and let me get the Bible, and we're going to sit down and we're going to go through these scriptures about how God is going to provide for you, Terrence. Amen. And we go through the scriptures about how God is going to provide for him. Ask whatsoever in my name and it'll be done for you. And Terrence is like, I'm asking for a chicken sandwich and, you know, something. You know what I mean? I'm saying, well, praise the Lord. Keep on asking. And Terrence, you know what? You got to go now because my food is burning. Amen. Yeah, my chicken's burning. So, Terrence, I gave you the information for you to go get fed, but you got to leave now because my chicken is burning. Amen? So what is Terrence going to say? parents are going to say, well, can I have some of your chicken? We just prayed for God to bless you with some chicken, but not here. What profit is it if we have faith and not deeds or works? Amen. What I should do is say, Terrence, come on in here, man. Go wash your hands, sit down, and I'm going to give you a chicken neck. Anybody ever had chicken necks? No. It's not very much on the neck. Amen. Yeah. So we don't give him just a little bit. We give him, you know, what he needs. Praise the Lord. Then it says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Even so, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And it says, yea, a man may say that thou have faith and that I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that thou art is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe. How many people, and tremble. Not only they believe, they tremble. How many people say, oh, I believe in God. So does devils. They believe in God also. It's not just about believing in God. It's about believing in his son and having a relationship with his son. You can believe all you want to, but if you don't have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins and rose again that third day and is seated at the right hand of God, let me tell you something, you're in big trouble with your believing self, because the devils believe and they tremble, it says. So let's go to now. No, I'm not finished with this one here. No, I'm not finished with this one. And it says that, verse 20, but thou would know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. But thou would know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to the First Baptist Church. I read the Bible. I go on Wednesday night to our Bible study. Sometime I come Tuesday night to prayer meeting if I'm in need. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Sometime I come on Tuesday night to prayer meeting when I'm in need, when I need something, like my spare tire. The only time I pull my spare tire out is when I need it. And when I don't need it, I put it back in the trunk. I'm going to leave that one alone for right now, but I might come back to it. Then it says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, up on the altar? Oh, Abraham, I want you to take your promised son, the one who you love more than anything, and I want you to kill him. Wait a minute, Lord. That don't sound good. You see, but God wanted Abraham to know, because God knew that he was a man of great faith. He wanted Abraham to know, and for us too, that without fault, Abraham was going to believe God, and that Abraham was going to obey God, even killing his son, which didn't make no sense at all. But he was willing to do that. And he said he was called a righteous man, a friend of God, because the faith that he had in God, he was going to do the works that God called him to do, which was to plunge that knife in his son's heart. How good is that, church? And we all know what happened. God says, Abraham, harm not that son. Now I know that thou believeth in me, that thou knoweth in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we can say we have works all we want to. I mean, of faith all we want to. You know, we can tell our neighbors, oh, I got faith. You know, I go to church. But the neighbors can't see your faith without your works. You hear what I'm saying? Your neighbors cannot see your faith without your works. Oh, I go to the First Baptist Church but they hear you cussing. They hear you cussing out in your backyard. They see you out there getting drunk, getting high, and smoking. We don't do that here, do we? Do we? No, we don't, Peggy. Well, you shouldn't. We're going to pray for you, girl. Anyway, what was I at? Oh, young man, what was the young man at? Young man, I want to let you know something. The person sitting in front of you, next to you, and behind you, we all have issues. You probably already know that, right? You'll know it a lot better before you leave. That we all have issues in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, and it says that he was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called a friend of God. See that thou faith walk worth with his works, and by the works was faith made perfect. I'm skipping because I already said that. You see that how that by the works a man is justified and not by faith alone. I can say I have faith, 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 but if I'm not serving God, if I'm not doing what God has called me, if I'm not in the perfect will of God, that faith is not worth anything. That's how you can tell that a person has faith, by evidence, by seeing. I can say all day long. Matter of fact, I got a little card in my pocket that says I'm 5'2" and Chinese. Huh? Yeah. I can say I'm 5'2" and Chinese. And y'all going to look at me and say what? No, you're not, Pastor. No, you're not, Pastor. You're not 5'2" and you're not Chinese. Definitely. But if I say that I am, you know what? And I might even believe it. Oh, let me tell you this, church. I might even believe it. But the truth is, y'all see my height. Y'all see my face. I'm not 5'2" and I'm not Chinese. So what are you going to think about, Pastor? If I'm running around talking about I'm 5'2" and Chinese, you're going to say, oh, don't go to that church. Because something's wrong with him. Something wrong with him. So here we go. Now it says, likewise was not Rahab. Y'all remember Rahab, right? Jericho. Rahab, she was just a just woman, a God-fearing woman. Is that what it say? What does it say? She was a harlot. She was a woman of the night. She was a working woman. Do y'all get the picture now? Some of y'all look at me like, where she work? Yeah. Y'all get the picture. Now, this woman here was one of the women who worked in the oldest profession in the history of mankind. She was a harlot. She was a prostitute. But yet she's here. She's not only in the Old Testament, but she's in the New Testament also. And it says, likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers that had sent them to another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, church. What the word of God is saying to you today is we got to put some feet on that faith. We have to show that we have faith by how we live, not just on Sundays, not just on Tuesdays at prayer meeting, not just on Wednesdays at Bible study, not just when you're in Walmart and you see your one of your church members there. Oh, praise the Lord. God is good. Yeah, because we want everybody to think that, you know, our faith in God is strong. But yet when we go out and we live contrary to the things of God day after day after day after day. But when we're in church, praise the Lord. God is good. But y'all got quiet on that one. What he's saying is that every breath that we take, first of all, we need to give God the glory and thank God for that. But we need to show our faith by our works. Now, let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I don't know about y'all, but I feel good this morning. I overslept. That's probably why I felt good. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, it's good to get a few more minutes of sleep in. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:12. Are you there? Wherefore, my brother, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. This is Apostle Paul talking. And he says to the Philippian church, he says, wherefore, my brother, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So he said, when the pastor is away, the mice don't play. I'm going to say that again. When the pastor's away, the mice don't play. Or the church members, you know, they continue to do what they should be doing in the presence of the pastor. Because, you know, when I come to y'all's house, a lot of times what I'll do is just stand in the porch and listen before I knock on the door. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just stand there for a minute or two and put my ear next to the door and hear what you are doing inside. Okay? And then when I knock on the door, I hear scurrying. Oh, turn that music off. Put that cigarette out. Spray some room freshener. Oh, and then, you know, come put your thing down. And then all of a sudden you come to the door. Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor. We will have a prayer. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, Adam, where art thou? Oh, I'm hiding and I was naked. God knew he was hiding and he was naked. He wanted Adam to know that he was hiding. He was naked. So when I knock on y'all's door again, know the pastor has been listening to what y'all been doing in there. Cussing and fussing and smoking and listening to the rap music and, you know, drop it like it's hot and all that. Mm-hmm. So here we go. So this is Apostle Paul talking. And it says now, for it is God which worketh in you. It is God that worketh in you. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, if you have confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. No, I didn't got ahead of myself. Wherefore, my brother, as you always prayed and not in my presence also, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation instead of pointing at your brother or your sister that stick in their eye and you got a plank in your eye. Work out your own salvation. Now notice what he didn't say work for it, because you can't work for your salvation. We went through that. Salvation is a gift of God that we receive by faith. Amen. But what he's saying is, at the time that God has called you out of darkness, he has put that every good and perfect gift within you. And now he's saying, now the gift and the talents and the things that God has put in you, now after you've been saved, now it's time to let people see it. It's time for you to bring those things out. Just like, you know, now is a time when you're planting flowers and stuff, right? I was at a store yesterday, and the woman, she was buying seeds. You know, she was buying tomato plants and strawberry plants and different things. And they were in a little packet. And it had the picture on what it was, you know, strawberries or tomatoes or whatever it was. But You can't take that pitcher home and eat it. You can't take those seeds home and eat it. Well, you could, you know, but it's not what it should be, just in the seed form. But everything in that seed, if we take it and put it in fertile ground and we water it and we look after it, amen? After a while, you start seeing little shoots grow up. It takes time. But if the seeds are planted in good ground, you will see some proof of it. You see what I'm saying? You will see some proof of it. Might not be overnight, but you'll start seeing something come up. That what you worked in the ground will come up. That what God put in us, it will come out. If you're real. If you're real. Once again, you can say I have faith. But if I don't see something coming up out of that faith, you can say it all you want to. You can dress like you got faith. You can have a little fish on the back of your car. I love Jesus. You can have your Bible and the T-shirt, property of God. But if there's nothing in your life that's displaying Jesus, there's something wrong, church. You hear what I'm saying? There's so many today in churches around America that's sitting and hearing pastors and teachers preaching today that is not of God. Because they're saying you can continue to live the way you've been living before you say that you had faith in God. Keep on doing what you're doing and it's okay because God loves everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. That's a lie from hell. I'm here to tell you that. Everybody's not going to heaven. My Bible tells me that few be that find it and go, bless you. That's what my Bible says. My Bible tells me many are called, but few are chosen. That's what my Bible say. My Bible tells me that there's a broad road that's leading to perdition. That so many are on that broad road thinking that they're saved, thinking that they're going to heaven. Talking about, I got faith in God. I'm a believer in God. I'm a Christian, but you're on your way to hell. I don't want nobody in here to be deceived. I want you to know that you know that you know. Once you know that you know that you know that what God has put in you, that you're working out of you, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. You're not perfect. We all got issues. We all got struggles. We all got stuff that we go through. Absolutely, we do. We make wrong choices and bad things all the time. Absolutely, we do. But the key to that is that you don't habitually live every day in sin, every day in sin, every day in sin. I told you when I first got saved and I heard that thing, you know, confess your sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all. I loved that one. But the other ones I didn't care too much for. That I had to give up this in my life because that was not of God, but I liked it. Matter of fact, I loved it. But once I came to Christ and Christ came within me, something had to change. Didn't change overnight. Not with me. You know, it took time. You know, those things that God put in me as he was putting things in me, he was taking things out of me. You know, he's putting things in me. He's taking things out of me. A lot of things I didn't want to be taken out of me. So I was holding on to them. You know, I'm holding on to that. And I'm wanting Jesus to continue to put things in me. So I'm doing this here. I'm straddling the fence. Because I'm holding on to this that I love so much. And I'm wanting, you know, the blessings of God. So I'm holding on to this. So what am I doing? I'm straddling the fence. How long do you straddle the fence? See, this is one thing that you can tell. Examine yourself to see where you be of the faith. If you're not letting go of the world and the things of the world. Now, once again, when you first get saved, you know, this is all you knew. You love this here. You love being in the world. But now, you know, that Christ has come within me. I love Christ. I love the thing. I want the benefits. I want the love of Christ. But I love this here too. So the Apostle James said, if you be a double-minded person, don't expect anything of God. Mm-hmm. You know what a double-minded person is? I'm here one day, and I'm over here the next day. Or not even the next day. The next hour. I'm over here, and now I'm over here. My head is swimming like this, going back and forth. Said, don't expect nothing from God. Now, once again, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But if you're in Christ and Christ is within you and every good and perfect gift that comes from above that's within you and the things that God has called you and put within you, if you're not starting to work those things out, what things that you're working out? I'm glad you asked me. The things that God put in you. The things that God put in you. Let me finish this up here. And it says that for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. That would satisfy him. What we're doing in the daytime and throughout the day, does that satisfy God? When you're watching all my children? Days of my life? What's some more of them? Young and restless, guiding light. All my children. How y'all know that? Bold and the beautiful. Keep on, Terrence. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. Amen. You know, all of those things. Does that please God? Does that please God when you're cussing somebody out? Does that please God when you're stealing or lying? Does that please God when you're spending more time with all my children than in his word? Oh, but what do we do throughout the day, church? Are we pleasing God? You can. Trust me. You can. You know, you can be riding down the street and pleasing God. Long as you ain't behind some little old lady with red or with blue hair. And you're late for a business meeting and they're going 15 in a 45. And some of your thoughts or some of your words that come out your mouth, is that pleasing God? Mm-mm-mm. You know, and that's what God has been dealing with me. And he's done a lot better. I've gotten a lot better. Because I tell you, sometime I would have to pull over and repent. You know, thinking, Lord, have mercy. You know, I've gotten a lot better. You know, now what I do when I get behind one of them little ladies, I say, God, you put them in front of me to pray for them. Lord, I pray for this little old lady that's in this car that she would turn. No, but praise the Lord. But anyway, here we go. And it says that, that we will do his good pleasure. Do all without murmuring and disputing. Do we murmur and dispute? Oh, let's hear what that murmuring, what does murmuring mean? Complaining, whining, having a negative spirit. That murmuring and disputing, arguing with one another. About this, that, and the other. You know, it says, do all things for his good pleasure without whining and complaining and arguing with one another or arguing with God. Huh? I've argued with God. I'm going to tell you, I have. I've argued with him because I didn't understand why he allowed things to happen to people in my life that I love or different things in my life, circumstances that happened in my life that I didn't like, didn't want, that hurt me, I would argue with God. God, why are you doing this to me? Why you let this one happen to this one? And Lord, I don't understand. I don't like it. But then I have to stop and say, you know what, God? You're God and I'm not. And if I trust you the way that I say that I do, if I have faith in you the way that I say that I have faith, I got to go to Romans 8:28 to know, not maybe not might, to know all things, the good, bad, the ugly, the hurtful things, the disappointing things. All things work together for the good, for those who love God. And Lord, you know that I love you. I don't love you maybe the way that I should or the way that I'm going to, but I love you more than what I used to. Amen. And each and every day I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus with the help of the Holy Ghost in me. The only way I can do it with the help of the Holy Ghost in me. Can't do it without the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, yes, I argued with you. Yes, I was mad at you. But at the end of the day, those things that you worked in me, now it's time to work out. You know, that grace and trusting you with all my heart, leaning not on my own understanding, acknowledging you in all my ways, and he will direct my paths. Not of arguing, not of murmuring, not of complaining. Huh? Praise the Lord. That's those things that God put in us. But we need to have those things be brought out. But when you're sad, when you're mad, it's hard to bring them things out, don't it? It's hard. You know, when you're sad, you're mad, you're bitter, you know, you're frustrated or you're devastated about something that's going on. It's hard to bring them out. But you know what? It's not too hard for God. If we say that we trust him, if we say that we love him, if we say that we have faith in him, let me tell you something. There will be something that comes out. Instead of I'm 5'2" in Chinese. There will be something that comes out. And then it says this here. Now this, I love this. If we do these things without murmuring and disputing, that they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're living in the most crooked and perverse nation that has ever been in mankind. Do you know that? In the year of our Lord, 2023, we've never been in a situation in our world the way that we are now. I mean, they're calling right wrong. They're calling wrong right. They're talking about a new normal. They're talking about all of this kind of crazy stuff that they're doing with our children, you know, indoctrinating our children, you know, to say, well, if you think that you, you know, Johnny, if you think that you Sally today, going into the women's bathroom, going to the girls' bathroom, you know, Sally, if you think that you Johnny today, going to the men's bathroom, you know, just whatever it is. Or Johnny, you know, you married today, you know, and you run track, you can run against all the little girls. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? And I can go on and on and on and on with it. Let me tell you something. We're living in a crooked and perverse generation. Oh, you laid down, you had a good time with your boyfriend, Jimmy, and now you're pregnant and it's going to affect your life and it's going to just go kill the baby. And it is legal. It's legal to kill the baby because it's an inconvenience to you. It's going to cramp your lifestyle. But yet you laid down, had your fun, and now you want to kill one of God's perfect gifts. You want to kill this child that God has created. And our country is saying it's legal, and they're promoting it over and over and over again. And our taxpayer tax dollars is paying for it. How crazy is that, church? How crazy is that? God hates shedding of innocent blood. Let me tell you something. There will, and there's going to be more and more and more persecution against America. It's coming, church. It has to come. It has to come. I'm praying every day for it to come more and more. Because we are more and more going deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm sorry. But these things are close to my heart. Because your mother could have aborted you. But here you are. Here you are. And praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that our mothers thought enough to have us. How good is that? And it says that they may be blameless and harmless, and the sons of God to rebuke in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Shining that light in the world is what God has called us to do in this dark, perverse, and crooked generation. But yet, the church has sat silently for years and years and years and years. You know, when we had that 40 day for life, where we would go over to the abortion clinic or the butcher clinic over here on Stone Street and would pray for 40 days, you know, I called some of our pastors to come join us. It was only three of us in the city. Only three in the city that came out. That should not be. But you know what? Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. One day, that would come back around. Oh, we don't want to be controversial. We don't want to stir up any trouble. You know, and on and on and on. So many excuses why they can't come and support our babies. You know, and but once again, you know, I pray for those who are doing that, because the book of James tells me, it says, I wish not many of you become teachers, because, you know, you are held to a higher standard. There will be a day of justification for those who are God has called, and they're not doing what God has called them to do. But you know what? You got a lot of them that's not called, and their churches is full, because they're preaching, you know, what people want to hear. Oh, God loves everybody. Everybody going to heaven. Just keep on doing what you're doing. It's okay to do a little of this and a little of that and a little of this. No, that's a lie from hell. Let me tell you something. That broad road. That's why our church is not packed. That's why I'm not one of the favorite ones in the Watertown City. I'm just not. You know what? But God didn't call me to be the favorite one. God called me to preach the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, he called me to obey him, because I'm not accountable to you. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love all of y'all. You know, I love each and every one of you. You know, I will die for each and every one of you. And I mean that. But I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear if you're not doing the right thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. And you can get mad at me all you want to up in here. But if you hear the word of God and be a doer of the word of God, we can make up in heaven. You can be mad at me. I got people mad at me. Lord, have mercy. If they could, boy, I'd have been dead long time ago. But once again, you know, once again, I'm not perfect. I have issues. I have struggles just like everybody else. Amen. But one thing I've come to in my life is that I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. I know that God loves me. And I know that God has called me for such a work and a time as this here. and I'm going to do his work. Not my work. Because if it was my work, I'd be in the Bahamas somewhere. Sipping on one of them things with the umbrella. You know, I don't do alcohol. I don't do that. But if I was going to do what I wanted to do, no telling what I'd be doing by now, I'd probably be dead. To be honest with you, the way that I used to live, I'm so thankful that he called me out of darkness. Amen. You know, and I've gone through all kind of stuff, as y'all know. You know, I hadn't always been a pastor, just in case some of y'all don't realize that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, God says to work out that what he's put in you. Now, we talked about what is it that God put in you? I'm glad you asked me. Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians 5. What has God put in us? Let's see what God has put in you. Are you there? 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the seeds that God has put in each and every one of us who are in Christ, when we came to Christ, when we the day that God chose you and that you opened up the door of your heart and you surrendered your life to him, he implanted those good gifts. Amen. Every good and perfect gift. Those seeds that were planted. Let's see what the seeds are. The seeds of love. That's the first one. Seed of joy. Joy unspeakable. He said, I come to give you joy, joy unspeakable. Joy and happiness is two different things. When I was out there getting high and living like a banshee, I had happiness when I was getting high. When I was partying, I was happy, 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 happy. But it wasn't until I came to Christ that I had joy. Amen. I mean, true joy, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in my health, my family, whatever was going on. He's giving me joy unspeakable. Why? Because I know that he's in control of all things. That's how I have joy. You know, they were talking about, you know, we wasn't going to get no money because of the government was going to go broke. And everybody, oh, no, I'm going to get my old people check. You know, you're murmuring, complaining about that. God is your source, not the government, not your workplace. God is your source. And what did he say? He says, I will bless you according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I will provide for you, Jehovah Jireh. That's how I have joy. Absolutely. If I don't have nothing to eat, I'm going to Don Foote's house. Because I know Don Foote, God is putting Don Foote to feed the pastor. Praise the Lord. And if I go to Don Foote's house and he ain't got nothing to eat, I'm going to go to Elder Paul's house. We're going to go over there. Praise the Lord. And if Elder Paul don't have nothing to do, we're going to Denise Decker's house. She always got something to eat. Praise the Lord. You know, that's our source. God's going to provide for us. We shouldn't be doing all that worrying and complaining. And then what kills me is you want to get on the phone. Oh, did you see what they said on the news? Did you know? Don't care. What you need to say, do you know what God said in his word? Do you know what God said in his word? Instead of looking at all this news and all this worldly propaganda and all this crazy stuff, get in God's word. Because God's word is true. Amen. Where am I at here? Oh, joy. Love, joy, peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Long suffering. Now, that's a tough one right there. Suffering long with somebody who get on your last nerve. You know, suffering long for somebody. You know what I mean? And why do you suffer long? Because of that first seed that he put in your love. Amen. I can suffer long with those who get on my last nerve because God has put that love in me. and I got to reach down sometime real deep to pull it out. Huh? Some I don't have to pull it out that deep, but some I got to reach down real deep. I love Vera. Gentleness, goodness, to be good, you know, to be good, to let the goodness of God come out of us, even when somebody's not good back to us, or somebody has done something or done you wrong, you know what I mean, that goodness, that faith, there we go, that faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't have to say I have faith in getting me something to eat after church. Because I got chicken upstairs. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't have to have faith knowing that I can get me some chicken after I get done here. Because my chicken is upstairs. But there's things in my life that I have to live on faith, because these things I don't have. But I know God is in control, so I know if God wants me to have these things, he will let me have them. But sometimes he don't let me have what I want because it's not good for me. Mommy, Daddy, we prayed all day. You said to us that if we whatsoever we pray in Jesus' name, we give to us. Yes, that's right, son. That's right, daughter. Mommy, Daddy, we've been praying all morning to have cookies, cake, ice cream, and candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We've been praying that, Mommy, Daddy. You said, whatever we pray in the name of Jesus, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. So we want tutti frutti ice cream. We want candy, ice cream, and cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What are you going to say, parents? But they prayed in the name of Jesus. They prayed for something that would not benefit them. And we know that as parents. And when we pray for stuff that will not benefit us, when we pray amiss, he says, no. Your prayers are answered, but it's no. Get in there, eat that liver and that broccoli. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then he says, meekness. You know, so many people take the word meekness, they don't understand what it means. It does not mean weak. It means strength and the power. That I have the strength, but I choose not to use it in certain situations. To be meek. It said Jesus was a meek man. When he was on the cross, he could have called down tens of thousands of angels. He didn't even have to get on the cross. He could have blinked and everybody would have been toast. But you know why he went to the cross? Oh, that first seed that he put in us, love. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor, even if you have to suffer long for them. Amen. And the last one is temperance, self-control. Self-control, even when everything else is out of control, spiraling out of control, we have to have self-control. That's something that God has put in us, is to be able to control ourselves, you know, in this crooked and diverse situation, world that we live in. There's people and things that they do these things here. You understand what I'm saying? About killing our babies, about, you know, teaching our children all of this crazy stuff that I would love to go put hands on. I would love to go down to the Capitol. Amen. But I have self-control because I know God is in control. God is going to deal with these things here. You know, not me, because the next thing you know, I'll be all in the headlines. Local pastor done laid hands on somebody. And then y'all would say, people would say, well, do you know that pastor? No, I don't know him. I heard about him, but I don't know about him because he wasn't that crazy down there. You know, that self-control, that's something that God has really put within me, because I used to be out of control, church. I used to be really out of control in one time in my life. Amen. But God has given me that. That's a thing that God has put within me. And so I have to work that out. I have to work those things out. And you, not only me, but you do too. The church, we have to do. And when we do that, that's when our light shines. That's when your family members, your neighbors, your community, the city, the county, the state, the world can say something different about them. Something's different about them. You know, they're not all up in arms. You know, I did this to them and they said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I love you. It's okay. It's okay that you did that to me. I understand. But I'm going to pray for you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And people, that's when people would take notice. That's when we're set apart. That's what God says. Come out from amongst them. Come out from among what? The heathens. Come out from amongst the sinners. Come out from amongst the old way that we used to live. Come out from amongst them. And be ye separated. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, I deal with a lot of different type of people on a daily basis. And they're not all church people. Most of them not church people, to be honest with you. You know, and some of them, you know, I would like to just take and pray over them. Especially when you done counseled somebody and you told them over and over and over again. And they just keep doing it over and over and over again. Amen. And then you want to come to the pastor. Oh, pastor. Shut up. But I don't. Because I have that temperance in me. Amen. Now, when I get upstairs, I like might slap the wall or something. But, you know, God is so good. God is so good. Faith without works is dead, church. We say that we have faith. Let's see what kind of faith you have by your works. How you live your life each and every day. Not just in my presence. Not just in the presence of people that's in the church, but all the time. When you're at Walmart, when you're sitting out here, you know, on the square and the benches and different things like that. When you're at home with your wife and your husband, you know, and y'all getting a disagreement or whatever. You know, how do you deal with that conflict resolution? Do you do it in a Christ-like way? Or do you let that anger, that bitterness come out? Now, to be truth be known, sometimes, you know, something might seep out. But if it does, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins to him, not me, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, and the thing about that is you repent of what you do. And if you repent, it's not I'm sorry and keep on doing it. I'm sorry and I won't do it again. Amen. I'm sorry that I said that to you. I'm sorry that I did that, and I won't do it again. You know, the worst thing, you know, somebody do something to you that hurt you or disrespect you. I'm sorry. And you come back and they do it again and again and again. How sorry can you be? That's what you need to ask them. You say you're sorry, but you keep on doing it. So, you know, we need to be careful about that also, how you let people use you, because you're not a doormat. You women, you are daughters of royalty. You are daughters of royalty. Amen. You need to put your head up, your shoulders back, and don't let nobody disrespect you, treat you like a doormat or be a dictator over you. Absolutely not. God loves you so much. And men, we are royalty. We're sons of God. You women, you're daughters of God. We need to know who we are. We are royalty. We are king's kids. That's who we are. We need to know who we are. Know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. I am a king's kid. And Christ is my savior. He's my Lord. He's my friend who sticks closer than a brother. Oh, once we start walking and living in those principles and these precepts, let me tell you something. Don't get no better. Don't get any better. That's when you can walk in peace. That's when you can walk in love. That's when you can walk in joy. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, and God has given every one of us good and perfect gifts for those of us in Christ. Now, if you're not in Christ, that's a whole different situation now. That's a whole different situation. The things that are that's been put in you, it did not come from God. The things that come out of you is not from God. BC, before Christ, the things that used to come out of us was not of God. And we all know what they are. Y'all know how you used to live. Notice I said used to. Let's hope, pray. You know, but if you're still living that way, let me tell you something. You can come today and get a new nature, a new heart, a new life in Christ. You can come today and let God put every good and perfect gift within you, that He can put those seeds of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, temperance. Start putting them things in you that you can start walking in the love of God, in the righteousness of God, the power, the strength, the victory of God. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Because He said, victory, victory is mine. Amen. He says, I will fight your battles. How many times we've been fighting battles? Some of y'all been fighting battles for years and years and years. And you've been losing every time, and you get discouraged. Some have walked away from the church, walked away from God. And God is saying, all I want you to do is open up the door of your heart. Come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He didn't say stop doing this or start doing that and then come to me. He said, come as you are. And I will not leave you as you are. You see what I'm saying? Come as you are. And I'm not going to let you stay as you are. If you come and if you're real with me. Because many in the last day were, Lord, Lord, we went to the church. Lord, Lord, we cast out demons. Lord, Lord, you know, we've healed the sick in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. You confessed. You said that you was 5'2" in Chinese. But you're not. You say that you was a Christian, but you're not. And the reason I know you're not is because those works have not been brought out of you. Amen. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're struggling and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you say, I just can't get over this. I can't stop doing this. I need something different in my life. Now is the day. Now is the day. Because we're not promised another day. And the way the things and the way the world is today, y'all know what's happening today. Every day. Every day, people's lives are being taken. Are you ready to meet Jesus or are you not? That's what you need to ask yourself. Am I ready to meet Jesus? And if you don't have a clear, definite yes, maybe might, I hope so, not good. Maybe might, hope so, not good. You can come today and know that you know that you know that you know. That's when that peace starts coming up out of you. That's when that joy starts coming up out of you. Is when you know that you know that you know. And once again, not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. But you know that Jesus is mine. So everybody sitting here is good. That's what you're saying. Everybody's all right. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You know, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed, because Jesus was not embarrassed when they put him on that cross. He wasn't embarrassed to be nailed to that cross for your sins and my sins. He wasn't embarrassed. Amen. Is there anyone else? Okay. There is somebody else in here, and you know who you are. You know who you are. And more than that, God knows who you are. You know, and I know that he's been, but for whatever reason, you're keeping it shut. Because see, he will not open it. You have to open it. And if you're sitting here knowing that you should be here, but you won't get up, who do you think is telling you to stay in your seat? It's not God. But I'm going to say this here. Whoever you are that's sitting here, and you know who you are, pray this prayer with us, because God will meet you in your seat. He will meet you in your bed. He will meet you in your car. He will meet you wherever that you are if you're real and serious and honest with him. He will meet you wherever you are. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you know that you should be up here, but for some reason you just can't, and you know that you know that you know that I don't know if I'm ready to meet Jesus or not, you can make sure today. Pray this prayer with us. I'm going to ask everybody that's up here, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hands and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm confessing that my life have not been lived to serve you. This day, I'm accepting the free gift of salvation by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus, and I will live for you forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I'm going to say this here to all of y'all, because I know some of you rededicate your life, you know, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with rededicating your life to Jesus.